Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's why we love it.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks Thursday night footy.
Hello there. Welcome to Parramatta Stadium, Bank West, where it is bucketing down. The pitch looks in good nick, but I'll tell you what, it is really coming down. So it's going to be a wet one in Sydney this weekend. It starts tonight. A blockbuster. Parramatta versus Melbourne, two last start winners. Both sides, very different opening rounds. So Parramatta, weren't they awful in the first half against Brisbane? But they got the job done, and Melbourne, superb in blowing away South Sydney early before hanging on. So it is a terrific Thursday night clash. Such a shame about the weather because we were going to have a big crowd here tonight. Probably not the case now, though a few people are filing in. And, of course, here at Bank West, there's plenty of seats. In fact, most of the seats are undercover. So kickoff in about an hour's time. Ryan Girdler, part of the Thursday night crew. Hello to you.
Hello, Dan. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here. Yeah, unfortunate about the rain, isn't it? I mean, what a game this was going to be. Thursday night blockbuster out here at Bank West in front of what would have been a full capacity. I'm not sure, what are we at, 75% are we at the moment in New South Wales?
75% in New South Wales.
They still might turn up, Dan. I mean, the way that they've built this marvellous stadium here, there's a fair bit of cover for the supporters. So I think we'll see them here in some pretty good numbers anyway. But I think it just probably takes a little bit of the edge off the clash because they're two sides that can throw the football around on their day. And that's most likely not going to be happening tonight.
And unfortunately, the weather's going to be this way all weekend. So tomorrow's game, Newcastle Warriors, will probably be affected. That's in Gosford, a Warriors home game. Saturday, we're back here. Triple M will be at Canterbury versus Penrith. That's a Saturday Arvo game. Apparently, there's 120 mils, I heard, is possible on Saturday across Sydney. So yep. It's going to rain cats and dogs. Mm. Where did that term come from? Raining cats and dogs.
Good question, Dan.
Wendell Saylor, do you know where did the term come from? It's raining cats and dogs.
Not really. Look, to be honest, at school, it went for two reasons. Play sport and talk to the girls. So I don't know. I didn't really listen to the
teachers. But you didn't go to a co-ed school.
Yes, I did. You know I did.
Emma Lawrence, did you go to a co-ed school?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
Oh, in Campbelltown.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with the West.
Nothing wrong with the West. I'm from Hurstville. It's hardly, you know, girds as northern beaches. What are you talking about?
It doesn't rain out west, though, Dan, so she's not going to know where the term cats and dogs come from.
Exactly. That's true.
By the way, the pitch is in immaculate condition. I can't say the same for the pipes. I don't know if they've been affected here at Bank West. Either that or someone has to go to the doctor very quickly. Because I was in the bathroom just a second ago. My God. I hope it's the piping system that is a bit askew.
Really?
No, Dell had just been in.
A lot of nerves, Dan. A lot of nerves around.
So,
opening home, first home game for the year.
Yes.
Imagine the catering people. I mean, they'd be nervous.
We're here, of course, for Ream Hot Water and for Macca's. Your good Macca's weather. You go through to the drive-thru on your way home. You can get
this is your favourite little one, isn't it, Dan, when you pull out of here after the Thursday night game?
The one
straight
at Victoria Road.
Is it Victoria Road there?
Or the one I tend to not go to this one because they're all doing that from here, but then there's one a bit further down.
Okay.
That seems to be my... I did that last week from Newcastle.
Yeah, okay.
Popped into the one, got a coffee and a cheeseburger. I said, I'm only getting a coffee, but of course then I got a cheeseburger.
You've got to have a cheeseburger if you're having a coffee.
You try the chicken and cheese.
No, I don't think they're meant to be together.
It's just a little bit of a snack.
I think it's all right. I don't mind that.
Just it's enough to make you feel full, but late at night, you don't go to bed too heavy.
That's it.
Chicken and cheese on the way.
I'll plant my flag on the hill of the fillet of fish, and I know I'm on my own there. I love the fillet of fish.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, hey, that's the thing about Macca's. There's something for everyone.
Yes.
And, it's real hot water weather as well, obviously.
And the salad's good too.
Yeah, but they'll, you know.
Have you ever ordered a salad?
No, but I'm saying apparently it's good. That's what.
Yeah, for Tara, that's what
someone told me.
And Ream, with over 80 years of manufacturing in Australia, they've been building Aussie tough water heaters for Aussie families and Aussie conditions. Interesting game. Were Melbourne Girds the most impressive team of last week. Certainly not the biggest margin of victory by any stretch, but did you come away more impressed by them than anyone?
No, I thought that their first half was exceptional. I think everyone would agree on that. 22 points they put on early against quality opposition too, and I think that needs to be stated. But I think they fell away a little bit in the second half. I have to say, and without being biased at all, Dan, I thought Penrith were really impressive last week. Just because, you know, opening round they were able to keep a side to nil, and they built their performance throughout the evening. Although their second half was better than their first half, but their numbers were good, their completions were ridiculous, and I just thought that they really picked up from where they left off last year. And look, so did the Storm for that first half, but Craig Bellamy wasn't really impressed with their second half, and they'll need to start playing for longer periods if they're going to come up and beat Parramatta tonight and beat Penrith next Thursday night. So a little bit of improvement left in the Storm.
What about you, Dill? Who was the most impressive team of Week One?
Yeah, I like the way the Storm started, but for me, I think the Warriors, because you know I tipped against the Warriors because I think I'm on the Titans bandwagon this year. But just, I sort of forgot how many off-season purchases they had. And Ewan Aitken, like, he looked like he needed a change, you know.
Yeah.
Fanua Blake led from the front. And then when the Titans were going with him, I was so hot. You know, we called that game. It was like, you know, 30-odd degrees or whatever. And I just like what they did in the second half. They didn't have to rely on RTS. Their wingers did a good job. But also, Tevita, he was so good.
Harris Tevita.
Yeah, he's just so aggressive for a little man. You know, he was hitting quite well. And I just liked what they did last week. So I'm branding off to a good start. Yeah. So for me, the Warriors were impressive.
What a bummer about Ewan Aitken. He played that game 60 minutes with a syndesmosis.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's out for 18
weeks. Yeah, it's a big loss.
And news in today too, Jason Taumalolo, or at least 4 weeks, he broke his hand at training. So that's massive for them. And big in a week too where there was so much talk, you know, with Todd Payton having, you know, reduced minutes, and then he got asked about it. He defended that and said, you know, Jace was a bit lazy at times at marker and put him on show in a sense in that post-match press conference. So, I mean, given all that's happened, it's unfortunate now that Taumalolo will be out for a little bit.
But I can tell you, when he comes back, he'll wind up. But I know what Todd Payton is trying to do, but I think when you're a new coach at a club like that, you've got to set the standard. But, geez, you just, mate, your best player who's won, you know, I think, is it two Dally M's he's won? Or has he won one?
At least one.
Yeah, at least one.
But he won one, he tied with Hayne.
Yeah.
And I think he might have won another one in 17, but he's very close. But okay, let's say, gentlemen, and this is really a question only footballers that have been there can answer. If Payton has blindsided him, what's that, Em? But can you behave yourself? Can you behave yourself? I know now this is a... I know you're a Channel 9 on the news and congratulations and you've moved up in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
Yeah. I'm still this is just, not, just a girl from Canberra.
This is not beneath you, Triple M.
Yeah.
Okay? No, and I need, Del should stop being immature.
But you know Del is immature. Okay, you've got to rise above that.
Yeah.
You've got to rise above that.
Yeah. You and Gil.
If Taumalolo is aware, if Payton says just before he goes into the pro, listen, mate, I'm not happy with your performance, and I'm going to rip in a bit, but... rest assured, I'm doing it because I want to send a message with the rest of the team. Gerds, are you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think it's probably been built up a little bit too as well, Dan. I mean, he knew he was going to get asked about the amount of time that that Jason spent on the field, so he knew that it was going to lead into something else. And I would imagine that he's had that conversation with Jason before he's gone in there. And I think the big winners in all of this are the Dragons, because Taumalolo usually responds. I mean, we've seen teams call him out over the last couple of years, and the response we usually get has been one that, you know, they don't like too much. And I think the Dragons would have been on the end of a Taumalolo special this week, and that's the last thing the Dragons need. So they're the big winners in all this, but I think they'll shake hands, move on, and get on with it. They're both... I like the way Todd Payton goes about his business. It was a big play. He's a new coach. But I think it'll all work out okay.
They did, let's be honest. If we're being honest, they stunk.
They weren't good, were they?
They were terrible.
They weren't good.
Now, big news for Parramatta. So the teams have come in here, and we did expect this. Wunga Blake is out. Murata Niokore is going to move into the centres. So their centres now, Opacek and Niokore, obviously more accustomed to being a back rower. Keegan Hipgrave will move into the 17. So he played last week. He was named in the 18 jersey. So Their benches, Kafusi, Papali'i, who was great last week, Will Smith, Keegan Hipgrave. Geez, Del, that's a big blow. They're up against Olam and Remus Smith for Melbourne. Those centres, Niokore, they're in the unfamiliar position. Yeah, massive blow for the Eels.
Yeah, it is. But I think in these conditions, it's probably not a bad thing because the way it's going to be played anyway, you know, so wet and that heavy track out there.
So who does it suit better?
I think it helps Parramatta a bit because, you know, if it was a dry track and stuff, I think, you know, they could play that expansive style Melbourne, as I showed last week, even though Parramatta got it in them. I just think it brings them closer together. So kicking game and obviously their forwards just going through the middle, that's going to be big. And how you hold the ball, because in these conditions, mate, if you get that tackle technique right, you could turn over a few balls.
Now, Emma, some big news has just dropped in the last few minutes.
Yes, so confirmation that the Seagulls have re-signed Des Hasler. So the agreement is for at least two seasons. So he's been in the headlines all week. Mm. So early in the week, the story was, okay, Des is under pressure. You know, they might not re-sign him. Then we got word that he was going to be re-signed, and now it's just been made official. So this new agreement will see Hasler remain head coach for at least two seasons. So
there's something... Am I right in thinking something askew in this, in that Buzz Rothfield wrote the story on Monday that there was an impasse? He wanted 3 years. Manly wanted they wanted the ability to get out, performance clauses, and they could get out really at the end of any year. And then it all gets signed, bim, bam, boom. Am I wrong in thinking that Manly have hurried this? And maybe it was going to be done anyway, and it doesn't matter, and it's just the timing of it all, but that perhaps... they've rushed this through just to quell the headlines? Because that does happen.
I guess you've got to have a look at who else is on the market at the moment, Dan, if you've got a coach coming off at the end of the year and how much instability that can cause the organisation. It's an interesting one, though, because Des, obviously, when he got there in 18, was it? Was his first year that he got, yeah, he came back? And
no, 19. So Barrett was 16, 17 they made the finals, 18 they were near the bottom.
Okay, and then in 19 they had that year where they had a lot of injuries, but they were able to get the best out of the group coming through, the Parkers and the Garricks and those guys, and they, I don't know, they almost made the finals.
No, they did make the finals. They were dudded in a final against South, if you remember. It was a great game, but one of the Trbojevic boys got binned. And that killed them off, and that was, I think, week two. So, yes, that was a superb year.
It was a great year, wasn't it? Everyone said, Des is back, and look what he's been able to do for the club. So you need to work out, okay, how much is that was what Trent Barrett put in place in those years that he was there, and then how much was the effect of Des coming back? But then last year, they probably had a similar run with injuries, let's be fair and honest, but they weren't able to get to that same level.
Yeah.
Disappointing season. They haven't started the season well. Not sure how their salary cap is, but when you look at the roster that they have, there's a bit of a gap between them and some of the other teams in the competition at the moment. So I'm not sure what the hurry was to sign Des, but I know that he's Manly through and through, and they've got a lot of faith in him up there.
So what you're saying is maybe they rushed it, but really there's no one better out there more suited to that job.
At this point?
Yeah.
But if they would have held off throughout the year, you never know what doors open.
But it stops the headlines and the speak, because then every week we would have gone to the press conferences and asked the players about Des, and especially when you don't want that distraction.
Look, he's probably the best guy for the job. It's annoying when a club like Paul McGregor a couple of years ago was re-signed because of the negative headlines, and no one else was chasing. There was no need to re-sign into a two-year deal. Now, good luck to him, and he ended up getting paid out last year. But it's funny when clubs make decisions based on headlines rather than what's the best thing for the club.
Well Des sat out for a year or so, didn't he, between them? And no one was really, chasing after him then to get him on their books.
That's right.
So would have anything changed?
Well, you look at that list, right? And you think, well, what could Wayne Bennett do with that team? What could Craig Bellamy do with that team? Because once you break through the top few, the depth is not there. And they just signed this week Carl Lawton because they need a hooker.
Yeah.
But Carl Lawton can't play for weeks, maybe months. So it's a strange purchasing.
Desperate.
To be fair, I mean, I don't know. Tommy missed most of last year.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to be missing. So you take, and the stats show that their win percentage it dramatically drops without him.
Yeah,
so
we know that, but they're going to have a plan B. And like,
don't have the depth, though, do they?
They don't. But if Dylan Walker's their plan B, I don't think he's a fullback. I think he's a centre.
So would you put Ruben Garrick there, or?
Oh, I don't think he's a fullback either.
No, Morgan Harper was decent in the trial game, but they're just trying to plug holes at the moment. I don't feel sorry for Des because he's that list. There's not much you can do with it.
But I reckon they've got to stick with a young guy like a Morgan Harper, and then I hate to say it, but if Tommy gets injured again, which you'd think, touch wood, it doesn't happen, but you think they could get that right, couldn't you? Think they could get
the issues with Manly is their key positions. You spoke about Tom, but Kieran Foran's another guy that you don't know. And I read today that he might be injured and
he's got a cork, but I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
But he's a guy you're not sure how many games you get out of, and they don't have a nine.
Yeah,
they really don't. I mean, they've tried to make Kate Cast or Lachlan Croker in there, but you know, genuine nines are guys that have played that position through their career and have the nuances of what it takes
to
read those situations. They're crucial.
Sorry to interrupt. They wouldn't mind RP Coruscant.
Yes.
That was a big player they let
Fainu, obviously.
Well, Fainu. But they know that situation now.
Where's it going?
I mean, they re-signed him. Well, I think his court case doesn't start till
July.
Yeah.
And we know the process can be slow. I mean,
yes, we do.
We mightn't see him all year, even if he gets a good result. We might, and if it's a guilty verdict, we're going to see him for a long, long time. My goodness, it's bucketing down now. It really is.
How good! Can't wait to sit sideline.
Now, are you going to do the Reedy thing, Emma, and pretend you're on the sideline and sit in the stand?
Would you do it
if you wanted me to? I'd get out and do it.
Would you really?
I would, but it's not in my contract. But I'd do it for you.
Gerds wouldn't do it for me.
I would do it for you, but Wendell's off.
But Wendell's already made the offer. All right, as usual, we're already 5 minutes late. We just started the show. Let's take a break. We'll come back. James Graham, fascinating comments once again about concussion, and we'll play those for you, and we'll start to really preview this game. It's the Eels and the Storm. Triple M rocking your Thursday night footy for Maccas and for Ream Hot Water.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, yes, rain continues to bucket down. Sue Wendell Saylor, sensitive AFL types.
Yeah.
Jude Bolton, your mate from the Sydney Dead Set Legends, straight on the phone to rip in.
Yeah, I know. That's what he's like. He's a bit sensitive. That's why
he's all right, Jude. Jude. No,
yeah, him and Gus, I've got to handle my business with those two. Two little cats.
Now, has Gus lost Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor? Gus Warner seems to have lost a pile of weight.
He's looking fit.
Yeah, he is.
And Ben Dobbin's actually...
Yes.
I reckon someone tell me he's cracked under 100.
I don't know. If he did, he might have had that operation. He might have cheated.
That's not cheating.
Yeah, if you have that operation, just do it. No, I don't know. I think he's been working hard, Dobbo. Hopefully he didn't
have for him.
Gus has been training for the Kokoda track.
Are you doing it with him?
Yes, I am doing it.
Are you sure?
However, I haven't been training only because... Hold on. I've been going to the gym, but I haven't done any treks yet because I thought it's unlikely we'll go ahead this year. I thought it's most likely to be pushed back. So I haven't... My training's been minimal in terms of the long treks.
I heard that you have been training, but like you were training in bars the last couple of months.
I've trained at a lot of bars for the last 6 months, but
yeah.
I'm back into the gym and healthy eating. So,
now let's segue quite awkwardly to James Graham talking about concussion. This is on Fox's NRL 360. He has been very forthright, and even in retirement, he hasn't changed. And quite fascinating his thoughts on concussion, which of course he suffered quite a lot.
As I went on the journey, what I did, I asked the doctors some questions about the risks. And then I asked myself some questions. And was I going to privilege the present over the future? And I decided that I was. I was going to privilege the present over the future. And I had to do some really deep thinking about what I wanted to do. And what were the consequences of me? Okay, I'm hanging up the boots because of concussion and the potential for future brain diseases. But where was the purpose going to be filled in my life? I thought about what's the meaning of life? Maybe for me, the meaning of life is finding something worth dying for.
That's quite profound stuff.
Absolutely.
And but here's the thing, Gerds.
Yeah.
That is so articulate and so clearly well thought out.
Exactly.
But it's this, I assume this is the same theory as every other former player that may end up with brain damage. They would say, yep, this is an awful way to sort of have this is an awful life I may have, but I wouldn't change a thing. That seems to be the common theme.
I would say, Dan, that young professional athletes who know pretty much nothing but their sport would all think along the same lines. I'd say they would all, and I would say they would all think along the same lines, and if they didn't, they wouldn't make it, because at those sort of early years in your career, when it's your only focus and you don't really have anything else, you're all in.
Yeah.
They're prepared to take those risks, take any risks. Even Josh Kerr, they had a press conference today he was asked about, and he said he's prepared to die for rugby league as well.
Look, I think there's a, you know, athletes work on a little bit of a different vibration, Dan, professional athletes.
Well, they've got to be wired differently.
You look at professional, you know, big wave surfers. Those guys put their life on the line every time they go in the water. You look at Formula One race car drivers. I mean, it's they have different philosophies around what's important, and that might change, as you've seen with James, as you go through your career and other things become more important when they come into your life. But in the early stages, you get told all sorts of different things from specialists, especially, like, you know, people have, you know, whether you have sort of injuries and things like that, and I know they're not all related, you know, specifically to the brain, and that's probably the most serious, you know, the serious problems really come out of, obviously, those mental ones that you have with damage to the brain. But you can still have some other parts of your body be severely injured during, you know, your footy, that you know at some point is going to come back and really bite you on the ass later on in life.
So, Del, with that in mind, right, the players know, seem to be very aware of the risks, particularly current day players, because we have so much more information, but they're willing to do it anyway. Should there be anything stopping them from doing it now? You know, I'm thinking Jake Friend, for instance, who's getting a lot of concussions. Luke Keary has had a pile of them. Boyd Cordon is going. Should someone step in those sort of situations? Or, you know what, it's, as James Graham says, it's my body and I'll do what I want.
Yeah, there's got to be a point where if you're not strong enough to make the decision, or you love the game so much that you want to keep going. Like, I look at Jake Friend, obviously Boyd Cordner, same thing. Like, I'm shattered for Boyd. You know, I looked at Anthony Mundine on the weekend. Like, someone shouldn't have let him box. Mate, he's not even close to what he was.
And I really fear for Anthony.
Oh, and he's going again. He wants to go again.
No, please no. Please
I
no.
I think so. But anyway, but like, yeah, I think someone's got to step in, because you don't want to see that. Like, I just... Mate, it shatters me as a dad and just as a person who's played the game. Look, I'm like Gerds. I knew what I was getting into. Even though they talk about it now, I wouldn't give back anything, you know, for what's happened in my career, you know.
So there's a great doco on the Chicago Bears, 1985 team, right, one of the greatest NFL teams ever. And one player committed suicide, mental issues, Dave Dewison, and then Jim McMahon, the quarterback, is clearly going through some issues, but they all say the same thing. Do it all over. Wouldn't change a thing. Yeah. This is, we knew the risks, and my life's going to end early, and my quality of life is going to be poorer, but I wouldn't change a thing. And that's the mentality of the footballer. And, Gerds, if you think about it, it's insane to want to do be part of an activity where you're in 20 car crashes a night, which is basically what a three-man tackle is. You're running into a car crash, but they want to do it. And it's for our entertainment. It's a fascinating
James
topic.
James Graham said it. It's their meaning in life. It's their purpose. They'd be lost. Like, what else? A lot of them, they come through, all they've ever known is rugby league. They go to school just to play rugby league. And all of them don't know what else they would be doing. So you can understand. They've got tunnel vision on. Like, all they are thinking about is rugby league.
No easy answers, that's for sure. I'm reading here that... this is from the Daily Telegraph, which, remember, broke the story about Des Hazard a few days ago, that there were dramas with his contract. And Michael Carrianis and Jamie Pandaram have just written, this is literally just dropped, the finer details of Des Hazard's new contract at Manly are intriguing and will keep pressure on the premiership-winning coach. He needs to make the finals this year to guarantee his position at the Seagulls in 2023. And I'm just reading this blind here, so forgive me, but the Seagulls announced a contract extension tonight for their respected mentor, but after months of negotiations, we can reveal the intriguing finer details of the deal. Hasler, whose contract was due to expire at the end of this year, will be Manly's coach next year, regardless of where his team finishes this year. However, a performance clause has been inserted into this season's deal. What that means is Hasler can extend his contract into 2023, but needs to finish in the top eight this year to do so. Okay.
Yeah.
That seems,
makes sense, doesn't it?
That seems quite reasonable.
Absolutely.
There you go. Happy with that, Del?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, good luck. He needs Tommy Turbo back ASAP.
Well, they're not going to make the finals this year.
No, I know. But, yeah, it's, there's a chance if he's back.
Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that, man. If we're one game into the season, for goodness sake. But they're up against it.
Yep.
They're certainly fair up enough. Against it.
Do you think that from the first round, there was such a gap from the top teams, wasn't there? Like from your Melbournes, there was... You reckon you could count on one hand the teams you could think would win the comp from round one already.
It did feel like an extension of last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like basically, what do we have? 20 rounds last year. Last year,
I feel
last
like you
week
can
felt
put
like
a line
round 21.
Through, you could put a line through 12 of them already. But that's maybe too pessimistic.
12?
Wow, geez, Emma.
Going.
Wow,
no,
Emma.
Like,
since you've gone to Channel 9, see how much you just changed.
Straight in.
Bang.
Straight in.
Wow.
How it's great to be back with you, Del. Missed
on.
You.
How are you getting on? You're doing the Today Show as well.
Just when there's a league story.
How are you getting on with Carl?
Actually, he said to me in my ear before I was about to do it in the ad break, he said, first one, Emma, don't F it up.
Oh, yeah, good. That's good. Yeah. That's Carl.
You should have said, Carl, I'll take you back to the top of the ratings, mate. You haven't been there for a while. Next time he says that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, if they do, now that Sam's left Sunrise, they... Today's show might get to number one, and then you can say, isn't it funny? I turn up and we go to number one.
Yeah.
There you go. You can claim credit. See?
I don't think it would have anything to do with...
Doesn't matter, Emma. It doesn't matter. Let's take a break here. Triple M rocking the footy for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas. We're 35 minutes away. Eels in the Storm at a soaking Bankwest Stadium. More after this.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Touch over 20 minutes to go before kickoff here. Parramatta and the Melbourne Storm. Melbourne doing their warm-ups by running down the sideline, which I guess is a dry area here at Bankwest. I think it's protected by the roof. So.
Not many of them, only about six or seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the kickers were out in the middle before, and then when Munster was out there and that, you could just see the water just coming up to near his ankles.
I'll tell you what. Now, this ground, Emma, has got fantastic drainage, but you can see it's starting to bubble up at the ends here. That I tell you what, if it continues to rain, it's not going to be a problem, but it's going to be very noticeable that even a ground that is this new is going to struggle.
I wonder why they're actually being... They might have been told to warm up on the sidelines
so
that they're not ripping up the ground there.
I agree.
It does get ripped up a fair bit. Usually, I mean, even if it's a little bit dewy and slightly wet, if it's only sprinkling,
look at the splish splash. Sorry, Em, we're watching here.
That's what I was saying before.
Is that the technical term, Dan, for it?
Sloshy. So look at it, slish.
Look how heavy it is. I told you, boys and girls.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So God help us.
Oh, look at that. It come up.
So this ground, it's fine. But can Gosford handle this? Can Brookfield? Oh, Brookfield, my God. If it keeps raining like
Gosford,
your
dead set needs a snorkel at Brookfield to play.
They're at Campbelltown on Saturday. That probably won't hold up. Sunday, sorry.
We're doing that game.
That's right, we are. West Tigers, we've got a big weekend again.
Yeah,
so
Benji was good last week, eh?
Tomorrow, it was very good. Tomorrow night, Triple M will be at... both games, Triple M New South Wales, Sydney and all the other New South Wales stations. You will get New Zealand Warriors versus Newcastle. That's a good game, that one. That's a very tough one to pick. That's from Central Coast Stadium. And then the grudge match, 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Queensland time, Gold Coast versus Brisbane from Seabus. They're going to get one of the biggest crowds there they've had in years, I imagine. That's a very attractive game. Both sides looking for their first win of the season. Saturday afternoon, Canterbury-Penrith here at Bankwest again. The other games, Manly-South, 5:30 Saturday, 7:30. You'll get that in Townsville on Triple M with North Queensland playing Dragons. And if we cover it anywhere, it means you can get it on the app. And then on Sunday, both games, of course, here on Triple M at 4 p.m. It is West Tigers versus Sydney Roosters at Campbelltown, as Em said, and then the Sunday night game back at Cogra for Cronulla versus Canberra. Have a look at that, good. See, under the sticks.
Yeah, it's starting to puddle.
There's
some puddles.
Oh, dear. And the rain doesn't look like it's... Well, it may have eased up a touch, but it's still...
They need to get some industrial fans going on.
There should be. I've always said...
I think underneath they...
Remember what the Premier League? They have those heaters underneath.
Heaters, yeah. Does that affect the... Does that help with the... Certainly, it's for the snow.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if there's something we can have for the rain. Anyway, the story of the week. Obviously, it wasn't a massive week of NRL news because this story was top of the list. Brian Fletcher, the master interviewer, talking to Toby Rudolph on the Matty John Show.
You're a bit of an old-fashioned player. What's on the cards for T. Rudolph tonight?
Probably about 1,000 beers. We've got to go to Northies, try and pull something. Anything will do. Look, honestly, it's all about recovery these days. I'm going straight home, straight in the ice bath, and we're staying very, very quiet.
That got him an official warning, a formal warning. Gerds, formal warning worthy, yes or no?
Oh, look, was that... That's the Matty John Show, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what that show's all about, just taking a light, hard look at the game. I personally didn't have any problem with it, obviously, Dan, but, I guess the game's trying to attract new people and they're trying to move in a different direction, but, you know, a slap on the wrist, move on, he'll learn from it. But, yeah, I didn't see too much in it.
You're speaking to, or you're on the Matty John Show when they're making jokes that are far worse than that, exactly. The entire show, and that's the environment you're going into. So yeah. It's not like he's... you know, saying it in a different forum at a school visit or something like that. I didn't have an issue with it. And it was so obvious that it was a joke. And my concern is that you're just going to be discouraging, yep. You know, players being themselves. You know, that like Brandon Smith, the real characters, you want that in our game. We don't want full credit to the boys after every game.
See, they're like, if Andrew Abdo picked up the phone, called up Toby and said, Toby, love your character, mate, can you just be a little careful? You know,
yep.
What you said on its own, nothing really that bad, but, mate, we've had a reputation with women in the past. We're trying to build... Just, can I ask you just to be a little careful? I don't think anyone would have had a problem with that. But to go to the extent, Del, of a formal warning, was it a bit much?
Oh, look, I'm with Gerds. I don't think there's that much in it, but I can understand where the NRL coming from. You know, they're trying to promote the women in the league and stuff.
So. All right, so I'm sure you'll talk about that on your weekend.
But you know what was funny was Brian Fletcher when he talked about, Toby, can you take your mouth guard out? Like, did you see that part?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well,
making fun of his mouth.
Yeah, he goes, mate, can you please take your mouth guard out? Because he's got those big teeth anyway. So it was pretty funny.
Okay. They're very funny interviews on that show.
I know, they're good.
So, interesting story. Can you two behave? Honestly, I'm going to have to separate you. Oh, honestly.
Sorry. Honestly. Yeah, but go to the other end. Swap with Gerds, please.
They're dinking. Buggier, you know what? Yeah. Emma, the last time we were here on a Thursday night, right, we introduced M's DMs.
Oh.
A segment which didn't go very far because Tony was clearly very uncomfortable with it. Now that you've moved the Channel 9, probably a slightly bigger audience there on the 9 News, how's the DM world going for M?
Relatively quiet.
Is that right? Yeah, well, that's good. We don't want pigs reaching out to you.
No. Only classy men.
How often are you getting borderline DMs these days?
I haven't had any creepy ones in a while, actually.
Okay.
I had someone asking to see my toes a couple of months ago, which I think that was the back end of the footy season.
Yeah, we got that was...
Yeah, the toe, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's good. Men are behaving themselves.
Yeah. Has anyone asked to see the heels? Because have you still
the
got
crusty
those big,
heels.
The big crusty crack,
have we sorted
heels?
Out the sponsorship with Ulactol, the cream? I need that.
Is it crusty heels.
Oh, now you want sponsorships. Has he got to tell them you want sponsorship?
Yeah.
Big Ed.
Anyone that's going to DM, please be prepared for some crusty heels.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah.
Nathan Brown's an interesting subplot. We've had Ryan Madison back in the fair dinkum. Can we go a month without Ryan Madison's contract being in the news? But apparently he's being shopped around because he's got a player option at the end of this year. And Nathan Brown, he's been terrific for Parramatta. Brent Reed earlier on the rush hour with MG said this about Nathan Brown's situation.
He's had an offer on the table for a while now from the Eels, and it's a good offer. I mean, if you factor in the reduction in the salary cap, he's got a pay rise. His offer's a pay rise. It's less than he's on now, but the cap's gone down. So percentage-wise, he's gone up. Look, I think Parramatta are losing patience with him. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't take the offer up soon if Parramatta pull it.
Okay, and he went on to say Manly, who are very interested, have apparently lost interest because they're not looking for a middle player, they're looking for an edge player. Should Parramatta play tough here, Gerds?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a value member. He's been probably their best play, most consistent player over the last 4 or 5 years, I would say. I think he's the leader of their pack. He drives their line speed. He's a guy that, you know, can put on a shot. He lifts the group. I'd imagine he's just a bit of a knockabout bloke to have in the organisation as well. So I see a lot of value in him being within the club, and especially a club in the past that, you know, have had trouble beating those bigger sides. He's a guy that seems to like to rise to the challenge. So whether it's Parramatta or it's someone else, he's a good investment. So I'm not sure what the issue is between him and the club. But, I'd be trying to snap him up quick smart if I could.
Do you like it when a club puts a deadline on a player to hurry up and make a decision? I mean, they've got their issues too. If that player's not going to re-sign with them, they've got to go and spend that money.
Yeah, I know. It just depends on the situation. And I think for the Eels, and Penrith did it pretty well so far, I mean, they got a fair... It was always going to be hard for Penrith to maintain that roster that they had over the next couple of years coming, you know, with all those juniors through, made the grand final last year, and all of a sudden they had half a dozen new rep players in their roster. Now, they went about signing people in the off-season. Luai got done, Crichton got done just before a ball was kicked, and kind of heard about it. They kind of did it behind the scenes, and it was really well done. So the Eels now, they seem to have Brown, they seem to have Big Sivo's off. You got Madison off.
Yeah.
You got Ferguson off. I think Moses has got an option on maybe next year. So they're conversations that you don't really want to have as you're trying to put together a title, you know, tilt. So hopefully they can get some of those, at least one or two of those guys sorted out soon.
And would you imagine Blake Ferguson, this might be his last year at Parramatta, or perhaps a greatly reduced contract? What are we thinking, Dell?
You're saying, do you want Parramatta, should Parramatta keep
well,
him?
Well, what are they intending to keep him? Because he's off. There's a whole age is starting to catch up with. He's still a terrific player, but age is a factor.
He said that he's in a better... He was...
Of course he's going to say that. He's off contract. And last year, that was a...
Last year, it took him 17 rounds till he scored.
I know, but it was the mistakes and the way that he played. He didn't play like an Origin or an international winger last year. That's the thing. What we're used to, depends which Blake Ferguson they get. Because if you have a look at Brett Morris, I think...
You get the same thing every week. Every single week, get the same thing from Brett Morris.
So if Fergo plays like he did last week, that's the Blake Ferguson that you want to resign for a year or two. But if he plays like Blake Ferguson we saw last year, well, you'd let him go somewhere else.
And the point there I was trying to make and didn't articulate properly is all those other players that are off contract, well, they're going to, you would imagine, go up in money.
Yep.
Certainly Nathan Brown, if he stays, is going to be on more than what he was. Therefore, he's not going to be that much available for Blake.
That's right.
So that might be the problem.
But if he loves the club that much, we'll just take a pay cut and stay here. It's up to him, you know. He's got his premiership.
All right. We're about 13, 14 minutes away from kickoff here at Bankwest Stadium. Why don't we take our final break and then we'll preview this game in depth. It's the Eels and the Storm, two of the powerhouses, live on Triple M, thanks to Ream Hot Water and the Maccas.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, yes, rain continues to bucket down. Sue Wendell Saylor, sensitive AFL types.
Yeah.
Jude Bolton, your mate from the Sydney Dead Set Legends, straight on the phone to rip in.
Yeah, I know. That's what he's like. He's a bit sensitive. That's why.
He's all right, Jude.
I like Jude.
No,
yeah, him and Gus, like, I've got to handle my business with those two little cats.
Now, has Gus lost a... Brian Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor. Gus Warner seems to have lost a pile of weight.
Looking fit.
Yeah, he is.
And Ben Dobbin's actually...
Yes.
I reckon... Tell me he's cracked under 100.
I don't know. If he did, he might have had that operation. He might have cheated.
That's not cheating.
Yeah, if you have that operation, just do it. No, I don't know. I think he's been working hard, Dobbo. Hopefully he didn't
have him.
Gus has been training for the Kokoda track.
Are you doing it with him?
Yes, I am doing it.
Are you sure?
However, I haven't been training only because... Hold on. I've been going to the gym, but I haven't done any treks yet. Because I thought it's unlikely it will go ahead this year. I thought it's most likely to be pushed back. So I haven't... My training's been minimal in terms of the long treks.
I heard that you have been training, but like you were training in bars the last couple of months.
I've trained at a lot of bars for the last 6 months, but I'm back into the gym and healthy eating.
Now, let's segue quite awkwardly to James Graham talking about concussion. This is on Fox's NRL 360. He has been very forthright, and even in retirement, he hasn't changed, and quite fascinating his thoughts on concussion, which, of course, he suffered quite a lot.
As I went on the journey, what I did, I asked the doctors some questions about the risks. And then I asked myself some questions. And was I going to privilege the present over the future? And I decided that I was. I was going to privilege the present over the future. And I had to do some really deep thinking about what I wanted to do. And what were the consequences of me? Okay, I'm hanging up the boots because of concussion and the potential for future brain diseases. But where was the purpose going to be filled in my life? I thought about what's the meaning of life? Maybe for me, the meaning of life is finding something worth dying for.
That's quite profound stuff.
Absolutely.
And even, but here's the thing, Gerds.
Yeah.
That is so articulate and so clearly well thought out.
Exactly.
But it's this, I assume this is the same theory as every other former player that may end up with brain damage. They would say, yep, this is an awful way to sort of have a, this is an awful life I may have, but I wouldn't change a thing. That seems to be the common theme.
I would say, Dan, that young professional athletes who know pretty much nothing but their sport would all think along the same lines. I would say they would all think along the same lines, and if they didn't, they wouldn't make it, because at those sort of early years in your career, when it's your only focus and you don't really have anything else, you're all in.
Yeah.
They're prepared to take those risks, take any risks. Even Josh Kerr, they had a press conference today, he was asked about, and he said he's prepared to die for rugby league as well.
Look, I think there's a, athletes work on a little bit of a different vibration, Dan, professional athletes.
Well, they've got to be wired differently.
You look at professional, big wave surfers. Those guys put their life on the line every time they go in the water. You look at Formula One race car drivers. I mean, it's they have different philosophies around what's important, and that might change, as you've seen with James, as you go through your career and other things become more important when they come into your life. But in the early stages, you get told all sorts of different things from specialists, especially people have, whether you have sort of injuries and things like that. And I know they're not all related, specifically to the brain, and that's probably the most serious, the serious problems really come out of, obviously, those mental ones that you have with damage to the brain. But you can still have some other parts of your body be severely injured during, your footy, that at some point is going to come back and really bite you on the ass later on in life.
So, Dell, with that in mind, right, the players seem to be very aware of the risks, particularly current day players, because we have so much more information, but they're willing to do it anyway. Should there be anything stopping them from doing it now? I'm thinking Jake Friend, for instance, who's getting a lot of concussions. Luke Keary has had a pile of them. Boyd Cordon is going. Should someone step in those sort of situations? Or, it's, as James Graham says, it's my body and I'll do what I want.
Yeah, there's got to be a point where if you're not strong enough to make the decision, or you love the game so much that you want to keep going. I look at Jake Friend, obviously Boyd Cordner, same thing. I'm shattered for Boyd. I looked at Anthony Mundine on the weekend. Someone shouldn't have let him box. Mate, he's not even close to what he was.
I really fear for Anthony.
Oh, and he's going again. He wants to go again.
No, please no. Please
no. I think so. But anyway, I think someone's got to step in, because you don't want to see that. It shatters me as a dad and just as a person who's played the game. I'm like Gerds. I knew what I was getting into. Even though they talk about it now, I wouldn't give back anything, for what's happened in my career,
So there's a great doco on the Chicago Bears, 1985 team, right? One of the greatest NFL teams ever. And one player committed suicide, mental issues, Dave Dewison. And then Jim McMahon, the quarterback, is clearly going through some issues, but they all say the same thing. Do it all over. Yep. Wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
This is, we knew the risks, and my life's going to end early, and my quality of life is going to be poorer, but I wouldn't change a thing. And that's the mentality of the footballer. And, Gerds, if you think about it, it's insane to want to do be part of an activity where you're in 20 car crashes a night, which is basically what a three-man tackle is. You're running into a car crash, but they want to do it. And it's for our entertainment. It's a fascinating
James
topic.
James Graham said it. It's their meaning in life. It's their purpose. They'd be lost. What else? A lot of them, they come through, all they've ever known is rugby league. They go to school just to play rugby league. And a lot of them don't know what else they would be doing. So you can understand, they've got tunnel vision on, like all they are thinking about is rugby league.
No easy answers, that's for sure. I'm reading here that this is from the Daily Telegraph, which, remember, broke the story about Des Hazard a few days ago that there were dramas with his contract. And Michael Carrianis and Jamie Pandaram have just written, this is literally just dropped, the finer details of Des Hazler's new contract at Manly are intriguing and will keep pressure on the premiership-winning coach. He needs to make the finals this year to guarantee his position at the Seagulls in 2023. And I'm just reading this blind here, so forgive me. But the Seagulls announced a contract extension tonight for their respected mentor, but after months of negotiations, we can reveal the intriguing finer details of the deal. Hazler, whose contract was due to expire at the end of this year, will be Manly's coach next year, regardless of where his team finishes this year. However, a performance clause has been inserted into this season's deal. What that means is Hazler can extend his contract into 2023, but needs to finish in the top eight this year to do so. Okay.
Yeah.
That seems,
makes sense, doesn't it?
That seems quite reasonable.
Absolutely.
There you go. Happy with that, Del?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, good luck. He needs Tommy Turbo back ASAP.
Well, they're not going to make the finals this year.
No, I know, but, yeah, there's a chance if he's back.
Well, I shouldn't say that, Manly. Yeah. We're one game into the season, for God's sake, but they're up against it.
Yep.
They're certainly fair up enough. Against it.
Do you think that from the first round, there was such a gap from the top teams, wasn't there? Like from your Melbournes, there was, you could count on one hand the teams you could think would win the comp from round one already.
It did feel like an extension of last year, didn't it? Yeah. We basically, what do we have, 20 rounds last year? Last year, round 21.
You could put a line through 12 of them already, but that's maybe too pessimistic.
12?
Wow, geez, Emma.
Going.
Wow,
no, Emma.
Since you've gone to Channel 9, see how much you just changed.
Straight in.
Bang.
Straight in.
Wow.
Great to be back with you, Del. Missed you.
How are you getting on? You're doing the Today Show as well.
Just when there's a league story.
How are you getting on with Carl?
Actually, he said to me in my ear before I was about to do it in the ad break, he said, first one, Emma, don't F it up.
Oh, yeah, good. That's good. Yeah. That's Carl.
You should have said, Carl, I'll take you back to the top of the ratings, mate. You haven't been there for a while. Next time he says that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, if they do, now that Sam's left, Sunrise, Today Show might get to number one, and then you can say, isn't it funny, I turn up and we go to number one.
Yeah.
There you go. You can claim credit. See?
I don't think it would have anything to do with...
Doesn't matter, Emma. It doesn't matter. Let's take a break here. Triple M rocking the footy for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas. We're 35 minutes away. Eels in the Storm at a soaking Bankwest Stadium. More after this.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
So it's the Eels and the Storm. Interesting atmosphere here because there's not many in the ground with the terrible conditions, but the lights are out and they've got the big fireworks going. So visually it's spectacular here at Bankwest Stadium, and it's good to be here, this wonderful venue for the Eels and the Storm. Wendell Saylor along with Ryan Girdler, Dan Ganane and Emma Lawrence, your call team tonight as we do it for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas. Why, gentlemen, do you think Parramatta struggle with Melbourne so badly? Now, I know Melbourne, you know, pretty much put the cleaners through everyone, but there seems to be something about Melbourne that Parramatta, for the most part, just haven't been able to handle.
Yeah, I just think they know how to play them with their intensity. They get off the line fast, and I reckon Parramatta, they go back into their shells a little bit. They just try and play safe because they're so used to getting taken outside, you know, their comfort zone by Melbourne. And once Melbourne take them out of the comfort zone, they just get into them, you know, like whether it's, you know, their halves or even their forward pack, they're just really aggressive through the middle. You know, that leadership from guys like Jesse Bromwich and Big Nelson, which is what Parramatta tonight need to do at their home, make sure they go through the middle. Because if they don't go through the middle, you're not going to beat this Melbourne team. We saw last week when South didn't match them up front, you know, head to head.
Yeah, Parramatta, like, you know, in the past, Dan, have just liked things to go their own way. And that's the way that they like to win comfortably. And Melbourne, if you're ever going to beat Melbourne, you never win comfortably. You need to go through the ebbs and flows of the game. And unfortunately for Parramatta over the last couple of years, I was looking at their record today against some of the top eight sides. They don't win a lot of those big clashes because, you know, they like to get to an early lead, or, you know, they like the game to sort of be already sort of over before they play their best, so to speak. So it's going to be an interesting challenge for them tonight because it won't all go their way, but there's an opportunity for them tonight to get Melbourne.
So they met in the finals and Melbourne blew them out of the water. Although Parramatta, spirited fight back, but never really in the hunt. That was up at Suncorp. And they met here last year, Dill, but Melbourne had a stack of players out. Their halves were rookie halves.
Yeah, so I think they had young Johns and all that. Yeah,
that's right. It was 14-0. We can probably discount that
yes,
game.
Yes, I agree.
So,
but even tonight, Jesse Bromwich, 250 games. You know, he's been around forever and a day.
He's got to be close, gents, to the most underrated player. You hear other players, other prop forwards talk about how good he is, but yep, we never seem to rate him in the media as one of the leading front rowers. But
Maybe not in the last 12 or 18 months, but before that, you know, he was knocking on the door. He's been an amazing rower for a long period of time. The guy that's given him a lot of help over the last couple of seasons when he's on the field is Christian Welsh. He was outstanding. It's last week in the opening game. He was incredible. So, yeah, really good front row. And what a battle it is tonight between the front rowers. Four quality ones take the field tonight, and that's where it'll be won and lost.
Well, question without notice, 8, 10 and 13. I said this yesterday somewhere else. We need to come up with a name. So instead of the four, the props or the middles, we need to come up with a fan, like the spine is the 1, 6, 7 and 9. Have Melbourne got the best 8, 10 and 13 in the game? Bromwich, Welsh, Asifa Solomona. We'd probably have to go through and look at all the other teams.
We'd have to look, but that's quality, isn't it?
Damn good three, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm with Gertz, mate. Christian Welsh, mate, he was nearly coming to Parramatta. Remember he had that ACL injury and then I think Melbourne were going to offload him? And then he's just gone to a whole new level. Even for Queensland, I couldn't believe it was the same Christian Welsh.
I think we spoke about, you know, and you spoke about the middles, Dan, and in these sort of conditions, they're really important, you know, getting that momentum through the middle, making sure you get your kickers opportunities, you know, with some clean football to try and make some good contact because it's really difficult in the rain like this. But that's where I think Parramatta tonight have the advantage with their big outside backs. Or Wonga Blake's out, unfortunately, but with Sivo and Ferguson bringing that football back, yeah, I think they've got an advantage over Addo Carr and Jennings in these conditions.
Okay.
It gets them on the front foot a little earlier. If the game's going to be played through the middle third, Wendell, you know, they're two good wingers to have on your side.
Let's take a 30-second break, but we'll be back with kickoff right after this, the Storm and the Eels.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.